From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue the first in a series of studies on the doctrine of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text comes from 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 8. He arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. All the strength supplied to us by our gracious God is meant for service, not for wantonness or boasting. When the prophet Elijah found the cake baked on the coals and the cruse of water placed at his head as he lay under the juniper tree, he was no gentleman to be gratified with dainty fare that he might stretch himself at his ease. Far otherwise, he was commissioned to go 40 days and 40 nights in the strength of it, journeying towards Horeb, the Mount of God. When the Master invited the disciples to come and dine with him, after the feast was concluded, he said to Peter, "Feed my sheep," further adding, "Follow me." Even thus it is with us. We eat the bread of heaven that we may expend our strength in the Master's service. We come to the Passover and eat of the Paschal Lamb with loins girt and staff in hand, so as to start off at once when we have satisfied our hunger. Some Christians are for living on Christ, but are not so anxious to live for Christ. Earth should be a preparation for heaven, and heaven is the place where saints feast most and work most. They sit down at the table of our Lord, and they serve Him day and night in His temple. They eat of heavenly food and render perfect service. Believer, in the strength you daily gain from Christ, labor for Him. Some of us have yet to learn much concerning the design of our Lord in giving us His grace. We are not to retain the precious grains of truth, as the Egyptian mummy held the wheat for ages, without giving it an opportunity to grow. We must sow it and water it. Why does the Lord send down the rain upon the thirsty earth and give the genial sunshine? Is it not that these may all help the fruits of the earth to yield food for man? Even so, the Lord feeds and refreshes our souls, that we may afterwards use our renewed strength in the promotion of His glory.
takes my hand and leads me to living waters that I may rest in Him.
Still He calls me onward to share the gift of life.
One of the most precious gifts God has given to mankind is the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. For those in the English-speaking world, the ability to own a copy of God's Word is taken for granted. Indeed, many of us possess multiple copies of the Bible. Yet, this was not always the case. There was a time when attempts to translate the Bible into the language of the common people were met with persecution and even death. Men like John Wycliffe and William Tyndale were hunted like outlaws simply because they labored to give God's Word to people in the language they could understand. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available a booklet that briefly traces the history of those efforts. Entitled, How We Got Our English Bible, this short publication tells the story of the development of the authorized version of the Scriptures as we know it, including the enormous impact of the invention of printing upon the spreading of God's Word. Published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, this booklet is free to all who request it. Simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of How We Got Our English Bible, and we'll be happy to provide it.
Thank you.
This week, Dr. Cairns began a series of studies in a much misunderstood area among many Christians, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. In commencing this extensive series, Dr. Cairns is first of all explaining the importance of the study. He has emphasized that this doctrine is one of the two pillars upon which the entire gospel is built, the giving of the Son for God's people and the giving of the Spirit to His people. So the Holy Spirit is of equal importance with the Son in the redemption of God's people. Furthermore, there is no service for God apart from the Holy Spirit. One cannot simply imitate what others have done in the past without regard for the necessity of the Spirit's power. As Dr. Cairns will point out, too many churches have programmed the Holy Spirit out of their efforts, and this is the path to failure. Now Dr. Cairns continues to emphasize the importance of this study of the Holy Spirit.
Let's learn this. You can't be saved without the Holy Ghost. You can't be sanctified. You can't live holy lives in victory over sin without the Spirit of God. And equally, there is no service apart from Him. There may be activity. There may be much motion in the church. There may be a lot of to-ing and fro-ing. We may multiply programs till our heart's content. But there is no real service apart from the Spirit of God. Jesus said in Luke 11, verse 13, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" He took up the same area of truth just before His ascension into heaven. You'll read of it in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, where He spoke of the promise of the Father. What is it? It is the gift of the Spirit of God in power. And in verse 8 of Acts chapter 1, He says, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." There is no service apart from the Holy Ghost. I fear that so often today, men plan the Holy Ghost right out of their church activity. We have the notion that if you do this and this and this and this, you're going to get this result. You will find that that is just not true. I was reading just last night in the book of Joshua, and this came home to my heart, something I must confess I hadn't really stopped to think about before in that book. But you can't even do what God said people should do in a bygone age and expect to get the same result just because you do the same thing. Can't do that. You remember at Jericho, the Lord said to Joshua, "Compass the city about, walk around the walls of Jericho, and the walls will fall down flat before you." Right? That's how they won Jericho. But when they came to the little city of Ai, the Lord did not say, "Compass it round about, walk around the walls." No, no, He didn't say that. In fact, He gave them a totally different plan of campaign. Now, obviously, there's nothing wrong with compassing the walls about if that is what the Spirit of God dictates. But you cannot simply say, "We will do this," because somebody else did it and got certain results. You can't do that. Now, if that's true of something which God has honored in the past, how much more is it true of those other activities that men get involved in that God has never commanded? I think of all the psychological gimmicks that are used today to promote the cause of Jesus Christ. God has never commanded those things. And they may seem to produce numbers, they may seem to produce this and that and the other thing, but they simply exclude the Holy Ghost from the work of God. Now, if this is true, as it is, that there are two basic areas of doctrine upon which the whole gospel depends, the giving of the Son and the giving of the Spirit, then without either one, we're in real trouble. We must therefore surely get to know what the Bible teaches about the Holy Ghost. It's an important study. It's important for the second reason. The Holy Spirit supplies the place of the physical presence of Christ in the experience of God's people. The news that the Lord Jesus Christ was about to leave them deeply affected and distressed his disciples. Verse 6 of our Bible reading, "Because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart." So much sorrow indeed that they didn't or couldn't ask him, "Whither goest thou?" It was like hiding their heads in the sands. Jesus has said, "I'm going away. I'm going to leave you as far as my physical presence goes." And they felt if they didn't raise the subject like a bad dream, it would go away. Sorrow filled their hearts. But did you ever really think of the words of verse 7 against that background? "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." It's a very solemn way of introducing this. "I'm telling you the truth." The Lord Jesus seems to me to be acknowledging here that at first sight, this sounds a doubtful proposition to these people. Put yourself in the position of the disciples. Jesus says, if you look at the early part of the chapter, you're going to be greatly persecuted. In fact, there's going to come a time when people will think they're doing the will of God if they kill you, because they don't know God and they don't know me. So you're going to be in trouble. Now, in the past, you've had me with you, but I'm going to leave you. But despite all that, what I say is true. Listen, it is expedient for you that I go away. I want you to get that. Here's the Savior talking to people who had seen him do miracles. They had heard him preach as never any other man had ever preached. They had seen the devils defeated and the power of hell thrust back. Now they are told, "You are going to be placed in a cauldron of affliction and of persecution, of opposition and of trouble, and I'm going to leave you. But it is for your good that I go away." And the Lord Jesus says, "I'm telling you the truth." It doesn't appear to be so to the carnal mind. And let's be honest, even among Christians today, they would say, "If only we had the physical presence of Jesus Christ in Greenville, what a difference it would make to the church. If the Lord Himself were to stand physically in our midst, would not the church be filled with people calling on God for God's salvation? What a difference it would make." Jesus says, "You've got it all wrong. I'm telling you the truth. It is for your good. It is expedient that I go away." How can he say that? He says, "If I don't go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." In verse 4, he says, "I'm telling you these things now. I didn't tell you them at the beginning because I was with you. But now here is another Comforter, another Paraclete, another helper, another friend, another endure with power. Here is one to take my place. It's expedient that I go away. It's for your good that the Holy Ghost will come." There's a lot you could say in that. God's precious gift to His church is the Holy Ghost. My, how much we need to know what it is to enter into that gift. In fact, from John 14, verses 16 and 18, if you look at it carefully, where the Lord Jesus Christ promises to pray the Father to give them another Comforter that He may abide with you forever. And verse 18, He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That is in the person of the Holy Ghost. You will see that the Holy Spirit is really the vicar of Christ on earth. Now what does that mean? I'll tell you what it means, very simply. What the Lord Jesus did for His disciples in the flesh, the Holy Ghost does for us today. Now this is a study in itself, and I'm not really going to do more than mention it. The Lord Jesus educated His disciples. He had them for 3 years in the greatest school that man ever studied in. They were unlearned and ignorant men as far as the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees and all the other learned men were concerned. But they had sat for 3 years at the feet of Jesus Christ. He educated them. The Holy Spirit does the same for God's people. John 14 and 26, the Spirit, or the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things. He shall teach you. My, there is an education that you gain from the Spirit of God, and there's no other education can take its place. There's nothing wrong with doing courses and classes and all the rest of it. And that's an education that has its place. But if that's all the education you have, God help you. There's an education from the Holy Ghost who teaches Christ to His people. Then the Lord Jesus encouraged them. You'll find that again and again, the Lord Jesus was the one who came with the right word at the right time. He was their Comforter. That's very clear from John 14 and 16, where He promises the Spirit, I will pray the Father, He will give you another Comforter. The one who comes alongside to help the people of God. Now, when you start going through trouble and trial and distress, you know, unless you have the Holy Ghost to come and speak a word in season to your heart, you really are in trouble. For there's nobody else can speak to your heart. Oftentimes, when I have gone to the home of the bereaved, quite honestly, I've told that to the people. I can speak so as to make an impression on your eardrums. But only the Holy Ghost can speak so as to comfort the heart. When I was home there, just the second week I was there, a man with whom I had many dealings over the years, Hugh McCauley, one of the McCauley family of our church there in Ballymoney, came up home from his garage, where he'd sold cars for years, run his dealership, came up home to cut the grass. Front of his house. He never did get that far. Just like that, he was in God's eternity. When I went to that home, and I looked at that wife and the two sons, people I had known for many, many years, I could feel their sorrow somewhat, but I could only put my arm around them and say, yes, I can read the Scriptures with you and pray for you. And by the grace of God, I will. But at a time like this, only the Holy Spirit can speak comfort to your heart. Who can heal the heart of a woman whose last sight of her husband was waving her down the drive of her home, and whose next sight was to find him a corpse in the bathroom of their house? Only God can speak comfort in those circumstances. The Holy Spirit encourages God's people. The Lord Jesus empowered His disciples, and so the Holy Ghost gives power to us today. Without Him, there is no power. What I'm saying is this, that we can no more be disciples of Christ without the Holy Ghost than the disciples could have been without Jesus Christ. Therefore, it's imperative that we know the biblical doctrine of the Spirit of God.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.